Just to know you and to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than
today. We continue our sermon series called Thrive. We've been studying Romans chapter 12, and we've been learning some amazing things, how God designed the church to do more than just survive. We were made to thrive. In verse 1, we learned this is the way to worship God. Give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Be a living sacrifice. Be a holy sacrifice. In verse 2, we learn that this is the way to know God's will for you. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In verses 3 to 5, Paul encourages us to be humble because we are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Christ is the head of this body. He's the one making the decisions. He's the one calling the shots. We are the different parts of that body, and all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And then in verse 6, we learn that in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. We call these spiritual gifts. These gifts are to be used to serve one another. You discover your gift by trying a variety of ways to serve others. You can actually cultivate and develop your gift, but you need to be humble enough to serve outside your area of giftedness. And if you see something that needs to be done around here and nobody's doing it, perhaps that is your spiritual gift to serve in the church family. Paul enumerates a number of different gifts. The first one we talked about was the voice of prophecy. Then we talked about the shoulders of serving. Next was the mind of teaching. Next were the words of encouragement. And then the heart of giving. So I'd like to invite you to stand with me and let's read our scripture today from Romans 12, starting in verse 6. And see what the next spiritual gift Paul introduces might be. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. So the gift we're going to talk about today is what I'm going to call the feet of leadership. Now that might sound kind of strange, the feet of leadership, but a leader's got to be out in front of the rest of the group, right? Got to be walking out ahead like a shepherd in front of the sheep. So we're going to call this the feet of leadership. So when Paul says if God has given you leadership ability, this word translated leadership ability is the Greek word proistomai. It's a compound word, the prefix pro meaning before, and istomai means to stand. So quite literally it means one who is standing in front of others to guide or lead. This word is used 8 times in the New Testament, and it's always used in the context of caring for and serving others. Again, Jesus set the tone for servant leadership in Mark 10, verses 42 and 45, when Jesus told His disciples this, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over theirs under them. But among you, it will be different." Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. So leadership in the kingdom of God is all about serving others. Now, there are people with natural leadership ability, and here are some of the characteristics of people with this natural ability. Natural leaders tend to be confident in self. Natural leaders usually know the right people. Natural leaders make their own decisions. They tend to be very ambitious and even independent. Natural leadership is focused on planning. But look at the contrast here between natural leadership ability and spiritual leadership ability. Spiritual leadership ability is confident in God. Spiritual leadership knows God. Spiritual leaders seek to know God, not just the right people. Spiritual leadership seeks God's will. It's very humble. It's very dependent on God. And spiritual leadership is focused on praying. Now, I'd like to share a passage with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd invite you to read along with me. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 917. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and see what Paul says here about spiritual leadership. Paul writes this, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God." So Paul recognized the importance of this spiritual leadership ability, and he spoke and led in such a way so that people knew the authority and the power came from God. There is a man who is a preacher and a motivational speaker and an author named John Maxwell, and he writes a lot of books about leadership. But I gleaned a few things that he said in these books I'd like to share with you today as we're talking about the spiritual gift of leadership. John says, "A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way." Yes, it rhymes, but it really makes a lot of sense. How does he know the way? Because he follows the Word of God. What does it mean that he goes the way? He actually lives it out himself, and he shows the way to others so that they can do it too. That's the mark of someone with spiritual leadership. He also says good leaders must communicate the vision clearly, creatively, and continually. And so this is why it's so important that our messages have this focus on our mission and what we're doing here and how we're going to do it. But John also makes a note, the vision doesn't come alive until the leader models it. So it's important, again, that the leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. You've got to model it in order for people to follow. John also says leadership is not about titles, positions, or flow charts. It's about one life influencing another. Jesus called this discipleship. And this is why we have an emphasis here in our church family of discipleship training. It usually happens one-on-one or in very small groups, but it's about studying God's Word so we can know it and follow it. And finally, John says, the gift of leadership is given to help others become the people God created them to be. That is good spiritual leadership. So again, in Romans 12:8, God says, if God's given you the leadership ability, he says, take the responsibility seriously. This phrase, take the responsibility seriously, comes from the Greek word spoudē, which means to do something with intense effort. It's to do one's best, to make every effort, to try as hard as possible. So I'd like to share with you characteristics of an effective spiritual leader. The first important thing about an effective leader is that leader needs to be an initiator. An initiator is a person who establishes or directs a new endeavor. In the field of chemistry, an initiator is a substance that starts a chain reaction. And so a good leader initiates things and helps get them started. I don't know if you ever heard the story of the three crows that were sitting on a fence, and two of those crows decided to fly away. Do you know how many were left? Three. Because those two only decided to fly away, they didn't really do it. So an initiator is one who introduces an idea and leads it in a way that others will follow. I think the second characteristic of an effective spiritual leader is to be an innovator. This is a person who introduces new methods or ideas. An example of this would be when the pandemic was over and we were going to restart our adult Bible fellowship. Steve asked me if I would take the lead on that. And I said, well, I have an idea. It's a little different than what we've done before. And I explained it to him and he said, let's try it. So instead of coming to Bible school to listen to what the teacher studied all week, we now have an adult Bible fellowship where we're all reading and studying one chapter a week. And we read it multiple times during the week. We pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us. And then we go through a list of questions to help us collect our thoughts. And then when we come together on Sunday mornings, everyone has an opportunity to share what they learned in their own Bible study. And it is really exciting to see how people are growing. But that is an example of innovating something so that it is more effective. I think a third characteristic of an effective leader is someone who is a motivator. This is a person who inspires other people to action. This is so important in the church. I'm reminded of a story of some corporate executives who were in a private jet flying home to Seattle, Washington after a conference. As the jet neared Seattle, there was a huge fog bank that had come in and the pilots couldn't see a thing. They were totally dependent on radar. And then of all things, the instruments had a malfunction and the radar goes out. And now they're flying blind and they don't know how to find the airport. The fuel is running low, so they decide they better ask the passengers for help. So they went back to all the corporate bigwigs and they said, what do we do? Well, nobody knew what to do. However, there was another passenger on the plane who was a lowly tech that worked for the company who'd gone along to the conference to help with the presentations. Somebody needed to do something, so this young man looked out the window and saw a break in the clouds. And he said to the pilots, do you see that break in the clouds down there where there's a high-rise building coming through? And they said, yeah. He said, fly down there. Get close to the building. So they did. And the young man saw somebody standing on the roof and he yelled out the window, hey mister, do you know where we are? And the man yelled up from the building, yes, you're in a plane. And with that bit of information, the young man turned to the pilots and said, head due north 2 miles and you can set down on the runway. Well, they were very nervous, but they did what the young man said, and sure enough, they landed right on the runway. And all the corporate executives were amazed, and they came to the young man, and they said, how in the world did you do that? And he said, oh, it was easy. He said, I asked the man on the top of the building that question. The information he gave was absolutely true, but it was totally worthless, and I knew that had to be the Microsoft Tech Support building, and the airport's just 2 miles due north from there. But somebody had to do something, and this young man motivated the pilots to land the plane. Now, before he became a Christian, the Apostle Paul was a very accomplished man. But when he met Jesus, his perspective about those things changed. And he writes about this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 to 14. Look what he says. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees, who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? But look what Paul says next. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Wow! What a spiritual leader! A man who already had significant accomplishments, but when he met Christ, it changed what he valued in his life. And he became a great spiritual leader in the early church and the author of most of our New Testament. Paul had the spiritual gift of leadership, and because of Paul's leadership, the early church survived even to this day. But as we think about these spiritual gifts, I want you to remember, Christ is the head of this body, and all of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. And we have several people within our church family who have this gift of leadership. And these gifts need to be used so that our church family can grow right here in our community where God planted us. That's the only way we're going to do more than just survive. That's the way we're going to thrive. So my challenge today is to ask you this. What area of ministry is the Lord calling you to lead as an initiator, as an innovator, as a motivator? In other words, what are you doing to help this body thrive? Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you so much for this gift we call the feet of leadership. And Father, we thank you for the leaders you established in the early church and throughout church history, but we're thankful for the leaders that you have established here and those you are raising up. And so, Father, we pray as we consider this question, there may be some things that you want us to initiate around here, that you may want us to innovate around here, or ways that we might motivate each other around here. And I pray, Father, as people recognize this gift of leadership, that you would empower them to lead well and to take the responsibility seriously. Thank you for these gifts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand and let's sing our sermon response song. Just to know.